Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I love how the Spirit moves. I really do. If we just listen to Him and just be obedient to Him, He'll get it all worked out. He really will. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Guys, y'all did a wonderful job today. It was just presence of God from the very beginning. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We were so proud to have you guys. Matthew chapter 11. John's in prison. This thing starts out, John's in prison. He's going to be beheaded. But all he was doing was just following the Lord and being obedient to what God wanted him to do, what Jesus wanted him to do. And he's sitting in prison. That's how this chapter starts off. It's important to we see, we're going to the end of the chapter, but it's important to see how this chapter developed and what was going on when Jesus started talking about the words, "Come to me." But before he said that, there's some things that happened in that chapter. He's going to have his head cut off just because he spoke truth and he declared what God was saying. So John's in prison. He sends two of his disciples and he says, "Ask Jesus, go ask him. Are you the one or do we look for another?" This is the same man that is a cousin to Jesus. This is the same man that was touched by the Spirit of God in the womb of his mother and leapt in the womb of his mother. This is the man that stood before hundreds, a multitude of people, and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." This same man. And now he's in prison. Y'all two go ask him, "Are you the one or do we look for another?" The circumstances were heavy upon him. Confined in prison, going to lose his head. "Jesus, are you the one?" Basically, he's saying, "Are you coming to get me?" Jesus looked at the disciples and said, you go back and you tell John this. See, it's amazing to me. He's in prison. He's got a death sentence on him, and Jesus sends a word. He don't go. You know why? Does that mean that he didn't love John? Oh, he loved John. He loves us. He loved us all. But he sent the two disciples back and said, "Tell him more." See, a lot of times he'll send a word to you. How many of you have ever had a word sent to you? Listen, that's very important. Send a word. He said, "Listen, you go tell him the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, lepers are being cleansed, and the dead are being raised. And you also tell him this right here." What did he tell him? He said, "Listen, the power of God is still at work. The power of God is still working miracles, still doing things that man can't do. And he's still doing that today." Amen? So here he is, and he says, "And you also tell John this." He said, "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." See, John was about to get offended at Jesus. Offended. Holding on to something because it didn't work out the way he thought it needed to work out. Jesus went on in that chapter. So that's how that chapter opens. And Jesus went on in that chapter and began to talk about the city that he was in. And he was talking to him. And he said, "Listen, we sent prophets to you. We sent John the Baptist came to you. And I came. And I'm here. And you're still not listening." Now, I'm not saying you're not listening. I'm saying he said you're still not listening. He said you're still not listening. You're still refusing the word that is coming forth. You're still pushing back on the word that can't come forth because you're still pushing back on the truth. See, truth is packaged in a lot of different ways. If you're wanting the truth, you'll be able to hear it no matter what the package is. But if you're wanting the package, You won't hear the truth because you're so focused on what the package looks like. So if you're hungry for truth, you'll hear the truth no matter if it's from a little child or your enemy. Are you hearing me? Your enemy can speak truth to you if you listen. I'm not saying everything that the enemy, because your enemy can speak truth. There'll be somebody that don't like you, but yet they'll say something and you know you need to take heed to something they just said. Happened to David. David's men wanted to go to this, saying all kind of things about David, and they said, "Hey," he said, we'll just go take him out. He said, don't do that. Because he had to hear some things. He had to hear some things that they were saying that went inside him to help him. So Jesus is talking to this group. He said, "Hey, we sent prophets. You didn't listen. John the Baptist came. You didn't listen. You're not listening. And you're not listening to him." Then he went on and talked to cities that had the gospel preached to them, but yet they're still walking in unbelief. And he said, "You know, it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is you, because they didn't have near the good news preached to them as you have." I think of America when I read that verse, and how much the good news has been preached in this country, and yet we're still living as a nation the way we're living, still trying to push God out. He said, "You're not listening." And see, that's the framework of chapter 11. And then Jesus goes on to say, he says, "Father, I'm grateful that you didn't give this to the ones that was most intelligent and the ones that had everything going on." He said, "You gave it to the babes. You gave this to the babes." And then he went on to say, you know, nobody knows the Father but Jesus, and nobody knows the Son. You know, then he goes on, he says, "I will reveal, you'll know him when I reveal to you, when I reveal him to you." And Jesus came and he said, what did he say? He said, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." How can you say that? It was in word and deed. It was what he said and what he did. I got news for you. Your Christian life did not start with a great big do. D-O. Your Christian life started with a great big done. D-O-N-E. He has done it. You ask how your Christian life and mine started. It wasn't because of what we can do. It's because of what he did. Why? Belief. But anyway, this is the chapter. And then Jesus begins to open this thing up and says, because he looks at the situation, they're just not here, they're not believing. They can easily be offended. And hang on to these things and be offended because of him. He said, "Blessed is he." That's what he told John. That's what he sent word to you. "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." Do you know there's a lot of people offended because of Jesus? I'm talking about church folk. There's a lot of church folks that are offended because of Jesus. Jesus will want to do something in your midst by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nope, we're not going there. Somebody asked me one time before, they asked me, "Well, how do you know if there's a manifestation, how do you know it's God or not?" And I said, "Well, discernment will show." I had another man be asked about the demons. He said, "Well, you know, when somebody's manifesting, you know, is the demon, you know, why is the demon doing that?" And I said, "Well, they're manifesting as they leave." Did it with Jesus. What Terry was saying about, Pastor Terry was saying about the old man winner. You know, that's where they are. And another thing, you know, while I'm out of here, I've done another thing. You know why? Because the enemy wants to create doubt of trusting and believing in Jesus at what he said. We don't need to be offended at Jesus. Because of Jesus. We really don't. Jesus opens this discourse up and he says this in verse 28. "Come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of you have ever struggled with that? That's a Passion translation. We'll read that later. He gives his discourse. You can be offended. You don't listen. I'm sending you prophets. And see, that's enough for him to say, for us in the flesh to say, I've done everything I can do. My hands are clean. I'm walking on. Nope. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus says, now here's, I'm talking to you. It's what he's saying. He said, I want you to come to me. Those that are offended because of me, those that are not listening, those who have not heard what I've told them before, I want you, I'm asking you, come to me. And he says this thing about coming, he says, draw near. That's what it is. Draw near to me. I know you're offended. I know you're bothered. I know you don't believe it. I know you don't believe it. I know you're not hearing. But I'm hear this. It's what Jesus here. Come hither. Draw near to me. See, we would like to say, all right, we're just cutting it off. We're done. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, draw near. Draw near. He said, who's it? He said, draw near to me. And then he says, all you who are weary and heavy laden. This word weary means wore out. Now, everybody needs rest, right? Physical rest. We need to make sure we get our physical rest. We get our rest from our labors. And by the way, if you're not laboring, go to laboring. Find something to do. If you don't work, get a job. Find a job. Find something. He said, but those that are laboring. He said, I know you're worn out. But Jesus didn't talk about but physical rest. This is not what he's talking about. Jesus realizes, he sees what's going on in all of the chapter before, and in the chapter, he sees what's happening, and he identifies what's going on with them. And here's how he does it. He said, come unto me, all you that are weary, you're wore out with toil, you're wore out, and are heavy laden. You know that word, heavy laden? It means this. You are burdened by the requirement of law and tradition. I looked at that and I said, good gracious. So Jesus realizes that it wasn't the work that was wearing them out. It was the requirement and the burden of them trying to become everything that they needed to become without him. He said, I know your word. I know your burden. I know you're burdened down by the requirement of law and tradition. Using tradition, this thing about, okay, this is a burden, it's like a bill of lading. In other words, the bill of lading from a shipping company is everything that's been put inside it. There's a record of everything that's been put inside it for that driver to be able to deliver it, so there's no thing that can happen. And you say, well, this is it, where's it at? Well, I don't know, it wasn't put, yep, it was put on there, here's a bill of lading in shipping. So this thing about being burdened and this thing about, it's everything that somebody else has put upon you that you have to do to be good. All the stuff is like a ship being loaded up by somebody else. Why? Because the law says you got to do this and this and this to be this. And Jesus says, nope, I took care of that. I'm taking care of that. But he said, I want you to come to me. I know you wore out by trying to live up to the law and live up to the traditions. You're trying to do good and it ain't working. Come to me. Come to me. He goes on and he says, I will give you rest. Everybody say hallelujah. A few of you said it. Everybody say hallelujah. See, now this rest is good, but this rest means to be refreshed. This word refreshed means to cause you to pause. This word rest means to Wake up. This word means to blow away the cobwebs. Jesus knew that they needed this rest in order to be able to hear what he's about to say next. He said, if you're weary, if you're tired, if you're just wore out trying to serve man's law, man's way of doing things, and man's tradition, come to me and I'll give you a refreshing. By the way, this thing about refreshing, you remember over in Revelation chapter 3, he talks to the church of Laodicea, and he says, you know, I know your works. I know what's going on. I know your works. He said, and I see that you are neither cold nor hot. You're indifferent. You're just lukewarm. You're indifferent. He said, and in the lukewarmness, he said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, here's the problem. A lot of people will assess cold and hot, hot being passionate, but cold meaning spiritual deadness or no spiritual interest. That is not what cold means. It's been taught that way, but that is not what it means. He said, if that's what it meant, why would Jesus wish that on you? That's what he said. I wish that you were cold or hot. Why would Jesus want to wish you to be spiritually dead? Why would he want that? He doesn't want that because it doesn't mean that. That word cold goes back to Matthew chapter 10 when it says, if you see somebody that needs a cup of cold water, what do? You give them a cup of cold water, meaning you give them refreshing. For that moment, you give them a revitalization for that moment. You're giving them to help them for that moment. This rest that Jesus told me, he said, the rest that I'm going to give to you at this beginning is for this moment because you need to be refreshed to be able to hear what I'm about to tell you. It's just like this, you know, if they're hungry and thirsty, we don't give them anything to eat, but we want to tell them about loving Jesus and walking with God. They have a need. Refresh them, love them in that way, and they'll be able to hear you. So this thing, cold or hot, what he's saying, he said, I wish that you was in a time of being refreshed or passionately hot in your walk with me. I wish that you were in a place where you were recuperating and being refreshed and being poured into. Y'all hearing me? It's not, I wish that you were spiritually not alive. He didn't say that. He said, I wish that you were being refreshed. And that's what this refreshing is. He said, I'll give you this rest. This is a rest that I'll give you if you come. I'll refresh you. The Bible says also that from the presence of the Lord, there are times of refreshing. Come to me. Come into my presence, and I will give you a time of refreshing. Because you're going to need to have the cobwebs cleared to be able to hear what I'm about to tell you. And he said, I'm going to give you the rest that you need as a refreshment, as a refreshing, so you can be able to hear what I'm going to tell you. And what does he say? So don't, you know, when you hear this thing about hot, cold or hot, you need to understand. He says, I wish you were in a time, but you know, Jesus had times that he had to go and be refreshed. Yeah. He went to the mountainside. He went to the desert. He went to be alone. What was that time for him? That was his time to take in. That was his time to be able to, as a man, he was 100% God and he was 100% man. He needed that from his father. He needed to go hear what his father was saying and then to go do what his father was doing. And he needed that time. That was his refreshing. And yet, we just think like, well, we just work like busy little bees without hearing from God. God, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit We really need to pay attention to what the Spirit of God is saying. He'll tell you things that you can't read in this Bible, but it won't contradict what's in this Bible. But if you're not familiar with the power of the Holy Spirit and Him speaking to you, you're not going to be able to receive what He's wanting you to do at this very moment. I was talking to a pastor one time, and he said, "You know, I know you believe God still speaks today." And I said, "Sure He does." He said, "Well, we don't believe that. He's already spoken." I said, "Yes." And I said, "Yes, He has spoken, but He is still speaking." "No, no." And I said, "So you're telling me that God did not speak to you about going to the church to pastor, so you did that on your own." "You did that on your own." "Nope, I didn't do that on my own." I said, "Well, how'd you get there?" He said, "Well, the people voted me in." I said, "So you the people's pastor, you're not God's pastor." He was the one that said, "You know, I don't really like talking to you." I said, "I don't like talking to myself sometimes, so I'll just leave." He says, "I'll give you rest." He said, "I'll give you refreshing. I'll give you a time of refreshment, a time of all this happening." He said, "Because what I'm about to tell you next is, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke." He says, "I want you to lift up. I want you to take. I want you to lay hands on the very yoke." Now, whose yoke is it? Tell me. Whose yoke? It's His yoke. He says, "Take my yoke." He didn't say, "Get your own yoke." He said, "I got a yoke." And you know what His yoke is? Does anybody know? It's His Shema. It's what he's driven inside Him to do. Love the Lord His God with all of His heart, all of His soul, all of His might, all of His strength. That's His, that love Him in that capacity. That's His yoke. And where does the yoke go? Around the neck and on your shoulders. Well, guess what the shoulders represent with Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9? What does it say? "And the government of God, the government shall rest upon His shoulders." That's His yoke. Doing the will of the Father, saying what the Father. He says, take. He said, "I'm not putting this on you. I'm asking you to take it. I'm asking you to take it. Take my yoke upon you. Take this thing of this yoke that means to, it's to join something that is separated. It means to submit to authority." Well, that's a good one. It means to come in and submit to authority. Well, I'm not going to submit to authority. Well, then you can be disobedient to God. Romans 13 tells you to submit to the authorities. Now, if they're telling you to do something that God says don't do, then you bow out, don't do it. I got a lot to say about that, but I got to move on. "Take my yoke upon you." To this yoke means that this what was separated is now being joined. "Come to me. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you a refreshing time so you can actually hear and understand what I'm telling you." Submit to authority, His yoke. Upon means to superimpose. So if I had a physical yoke and I put it on, could you see the yoke? Could you also see me? Absolutely. This yoke to be upon you means that His government is upon you as well. That what governs Him is going to govern you. But we can still see you. That's your witness. They look at you, but yet still see the power and presence of God working in your life. That's your witness. That's the reason it's superimposed. That's the reason it's not just covered up and you don't see us. It's like that movie that says they're in the spirit world. They can't see us. We're in the spirit world. You know? Yeah, they can see us. So it says superimpose. Both of you are evident. And He said, "This you take this and place it upon yourself." He said, "Your and it becomes your own." Then he says, learn of me. It means to understand by inquiring, asking questions, and making observations. So when you're yoked with Jesus, he said, you can learn. When you're not yoked with Jesus, when you have not taken up the same thing that made him operate, when you have not taken that up, you will not learn of Jesus the way he said you can. Why? Because you have your own agenda still living. So what are you connected to? To learn, to understand by inquiring and making an observation. Applying the knowledge that you hear from him to your walk. This is how we walk. This is how we live this out. To be able to put it into practice. Do you know why we do not practice the truth? Do we know? You know why we don't practice what we hear? Anybody want to know? We are dull of hearing. That's what the Hebrews says. You're dull of hearing. It means we don't hear well. The spiritual aspect, we're dull of hearing. And we only want to be fed milk. That's what the Bible says. We only want to. Now, I want that hard stuff. I had a pastor tell me one time, he says, look, Terry, one of the problems we have with you is you challenge us. We don't want to be challenged. I said, really? Yeah, we got enough challenges on our own. We don't need you challenging us. Will you challenge us in this stuff? And I said, well, listen, I'm sent to stir you up. You're sent to stir me up. Applying the knowledge in Hebrews 5 says this, for everyone who partakes only of milk, listen to this, it's a Hebrews 5, 13, everyone who only participates only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Well, how long have you been in the church? 20 years? Now, it sounds funny, but the reality of that, there's a lot of that happens. I'm at the same place I was when I was born again. I'm not mature, not doing it, going any further, not doing anything with God, not growing up, not making a difference in this world. What do you want me to do? No! This is what he's saying. You're not accustomed to the word of righteousness because you only want the bottle. You don't want the meat that will challenge you. He goes on and he says this. He says, you're a babe. For solid food is for the mature. Who because of practice, everybody say because of practice. Practicing what? The word of righteousness, the word that comes from God, as we yoke with him, he said, you are practicing what you're making observations with and what you're asking questions. You're learning about him, learning of him, relationship. You can learn about him and not ever be yoked with him. You can't learn of him because of is a relationship. That's the reason he said he is of this family. He is of this clan. He is of, why? Because it's relationship. But he goes on, he said, because you need to mature. And you do that by practicing the truth. Practicing what you've heard. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And he says here, he said, when you practice this, you'll have your senses. Your senses will be trained to discern good and evil. Boy. You want your senses to be, you want what you smell, what you hear, what you see, what you feel? Do you want your senses trained in a way that you can discern that's good, that's evil, that's bad? The very aroma, that's good. And what you hear. No, there's multiple ways to heaven. I've been trained in the righteousness. That's bad. There's only one way to heaven. I discern that that's bad. So that way you don't get swept away with every little wave that comes by. It's true. Why? Because we're practicing the truth that we have heard. But I don't like the way he does it. See, you're looking at the package again. Not listening for the truth, you're looking at the package. To have your senses discern, to train to discern good from evil, you're going to have to be able to get off the milk, get on the meat of God, hear the truth, even when it's like, my goodness, how in the world am I going to do that? And Jesus looks at you, being yoked with you, and he says, I'm doing it with you. I'm doing it through you. It's my power. It's who I am. He said, relationship of me. I'll give you rest. I am me. I exist. I'm humble. He said, learn of me. 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 Don't learn of man. Learn of me. Don't learn of man. Learn of me. You can learn from man with Jesus, but don't learn of man. And he goes on. He said, I am lowly, and that word means that I'm opposite from wealth. I have no status. Did you know that Benny Hinn just apologized recently about his preaching of the prosperity message and how it was had some error in it? He didn't preach it. He repented. Are you hearing me? See, there is a label of prosperity messages that will not, you cannot preach it in a third world country. That's the reason they don't go. Jesus, you know, I'm the opposite of wealth, but yet all of wealth is in him. That's how I see, that's what he chose. He goes on, he says, he said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. That the heart is the seat of the affection. Your seat of affection. Your heart that he's talking about is not here. That's not what he's saying. When people say, well, no, I really do love the Lord. I really do love the Lord with all their heart. And they're talking about this right here. This is not what he's saying. He says, this is the very seat of your being, the core of who you are, your being. That's what he's talking about. In the core of your being, the affection, the seat of your desires and your affection of who you are. That's when he says, out of the heart, not here, out of the being the mouth speaks. Out of your seat of affections, your worship. You're doing all of this. You're singing. You're doing all, he said, but your heart is far from me. Well, you can do all this stuff, but he says, I'm looking for who you are. Love the Lord with all of your being. Well, I'm just going to go this way, but I still love Jesus. Well, that doesn't demonstrate love. He said, I want you to come to me. If that's got you struggling, I want you to come to me. Because I'm going to give you refreshing so you'll be able to hear clearly what I'm about to tell you next. And Jesus is he's very good. He goes on and says, you'll find. Now we're, and the other one was, where your treasure is, there where your heart. There where your heart. There where, that's where, it's where you, what you treasure, that's what's got you. He said, you will find, you will obtain it. Rest. What is this rest? It's not the same word. Two different words for rest in this passage. This rest means enter, I should say, inner tranquility, a peace, calm. World can be fallen, peace and a calm, tranquil. Learn of me, take my yoke upon you, let what governs me govern you. And there'll be inner tranquility. And the Bible says, he didn't say he would give it. He said, you'll find it. First rest he gives, the second rest you'll find. People look for that through bottles, through prescriptions, through all kinds of stuff. They try to find that inner, and it's only going to come with him. That's the only way we're going to get it. This word easy, we're going to close. This word easy, what does this word easy mean? This word easy means to fully furnish what is needed. I love that. I looked at that and I said, well, no, it's easy. He said, my yoke is fully furnished to give you what you need. My yoke is fully furnished with what you need. My yoke is fully furnished with what you need. And my burden, you know what the burden means? Invoice. My invoice, in other words, it has no reference to weight. My burden has no reference to weight. He said, my invoice is light. How much is it going to cost me? It's cost him everything, and he's giving it to you. Oh, my goodness gracious. That is just wonderful. And he says it is light. In other words, it's easy to bear. Easy to bear. Look at the message. We'll go home. The message. We have the message. There it is. Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? See, he. The message gets it. He sees that it was about trying to be able to live up. This paraphrase gets it. Burned out on religion. Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's written this song about dancing in the fields of grace. When you understand grace, there'll be a dance in your step, no matter how it looks. Nobody, it doesn't matter. It's for him anyway. Dance unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Boy, I love that stuff. Let's look at the Passion Bible. Yes. Then Jesus explained, Father, thank you, for you are Lord, the supreme ruler over heaven and earth, and you've hidden the great revelation of your authority from those who are proud and wise in their own eyes. You've hidden it from them. Instead, you have shared it with these who humble themselves. Yes, Father, your plan delights your heart. As you've chosen this way to extend your kingdom by giving it to those who have become like trusting children. Boy, you have entrusted me with all that you are and all that you have. No one fully and intimately knows the Son except the Father, and no one fully and intimately knows the Father except the Son, but the Son is able to unveil the Father to anyone he chooses. So he's going to reveal him to you. The next one says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life. Or is that refreshing? For I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, and easy to please while you're yoked. You will find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. In other words, he's not putting this, if you got any heavy stuff on you, it is not coming from him. Isn't he good? That's the reason he says, come unto me. I know you're struggling with all of this stuff. I got it. I know you didn't want to hear it before, but I want you to hear it now. So come on, let me give you a refreshing time of refreshing so you'll be able to get the cobwebs cleared out and you'll be able to hear what I got to tell you, because what I got to tell you is going to change your life. The yoke that he gives, the yoke that we take and put on, is fully equipped, fully furnished to give us everything we need to live life. I've struggled with that passage for a long time in my life. You know, because I look at it and I said, God, I'm going through some of the hardest things I've ever been through in my life. And you said your yoke is easy and light. And I want to know where the easy and light is. You know? And you know what? I didn't hear him then, but later on I heard him. He said, it's over here. Not over there where you're at. It's over here. It's with me. It's not without me. It's with me. Bob Jones looked at me several years ago and said, he said, you know, the Lord told me to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, the Lord told me to tell you, you're fired. And I was a pastor of this church at the time. The Lord told me to tell you, you're fired. And I'm like, man, I'm shook up. I'm like, what do you mean I'm fired? God's sending you to tell me that I'm fired? Yep. So what he was, yep. I said, well, what am I supposed to do, Bob? He said, well, he said, he's fired you from working for him. Now he wants you to work with him. Well, I never forgot that. Went back to this passage and all this stuff just started pouring out. I said, God, you're good. So I don't know, how about you? You tired of the struggle? You tired of trying to measure up? Are you tired of trying to ante up to the place that you can be what he said you already are? If that's you, stand to your feet. If that's you, say, look, I'm done with all this other stuff. I want to be able to just rest in him. God bless you. God bless you. How many of you want more of this refreshment that he's talking about? Stand to your feet. How many of you want more of this inner tranquility? He says the way you get it is yoking up with him and learning by his behavior. Isn't he good? He's not saying I'm going to be hard on you. I mean, he's not saying you're going to be rough. He's going to chafe your neck. It's just going to be so bad. He not said any of that. He said if any of that's going on, it's not him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you're a wonderful, wonderful Father. There is no one like you. Lord, I thank you for your spirit today to be able to move in our midst and see you do things. And I thank you, God, that you're opening our eyes, our spiritual understanding concerning scriptures. And the Lord, that we can take it and apply it and not be offended and not be at that place of where we're just straining to obtain when you're saying you've already supplied it. You just want us to work with you, to be yoked with you. So, Father, we surrender. We surrender. We repent. We turn from this doing it our own way and making it happen our own way, and we run to you. And we take your yoke. We take what governs you, and we place it upon our shoulders, upon our neck. And we're asking you, Father, to use us in a mighty way that shows forth your glory, your character, your will, your love, your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness with all of people. Lord, plant inside this congregation the depth of what you're teaching us by your Spirit. Let it go deep in us, Lord, that it will renew our minds and transform our living. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen, amen. Is anyone here who does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You came today, but you want to be born again. Anybody, you hear this, but you want the very thing that Jesus is offering today. Anybody, raise your hand. All right. Oh, come on down, honey. Come on down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. See, one of those refreshings says, he said, I'll wake you up so you can see it. I'll wake you up so you can hear it. See, you could have been in church most of your life, but yet not in relationship with him. Amen. Let's pray for Cassandra. Father, we just ask you to touch this one, touch her, Lord. We just ask you, Father, to open her eyes, Lord. Let her spiritual understanding be awakened. And Lord, let her be able to walk in the very thing that you're doing in her today, that you're at work in her life, and that she belongs to you and you belong to her. Settle it once and for all today, Father. Seal it by the power of your Holy Spirit. Guard her from the words of the enemy. Lord, put people around her that would be able to speak life and assurance to who she is. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. 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 God bless you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.